Well, welcome to you again. Please turn with me in your Bibles to the sixth chapter of Ephesians, beginning in verse 1. Our text this morning will be the first three verses of chapter 6, which you can find on page 1162 in the navy blue Bibles in your pews. And there we read these words, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother." Notice the quotation marks. "This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." This is the word of the Lord. And again we say, thanks be to God. Thanks, bud. So today we begin the sixth and final chapter, of the book of Ephesians. As you might recall, Paul's in the middle of applying the direction he gave in verse 21. We can go there now. Verse 21 of chapter 5, saying that the whole body of Christ engages itself in this good work of submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And that we have already, as we've already discussed, this is not a flattening command or a command of sameness for all, but a calling for all the various parts of the body of Christ to submit to each other according to their station, vocation, and particular responsibilities. So husbands have a way of obeying this command, wives have a way of obeying it, children in another, which is where we find ourselves today. Remembering, of course, that the chapter and verse divisions were much later additions. Paul did not put in a paragraph break here and a big number six, okay? So this morning I want to speak especially to the children in our body. Not only to the children, as you will see, this text applies to all of us, but I do want to speak especially to them. And I want to show you at least three things from our text this morning. First, that children are addressed. Second, that honor and obedience is commanded. And then third, that there is blessing for all. Okay, so children are addressed, honor and obedience is commanded, and blessing is for all. So first, children are addressed. Not to put too fine a point on it, but Paul says in our text this morning, look at verse 1, children. Stop there. The Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, addresses children. This is not a command about children or regarding children. That's actually next week, verse 4. This is a command given to children. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Paul, why are you giving commands to kids? Don't you know they're not in the room? They can't understand predestination and all that stuff you talked about in chapters 1 and 2, justification by grace through faith and putting off your old self and putting on the new self. And so that's for the adults, right? No, it isn't. It's for the body. And children are part of the body. This is for the covenant community. And children are part of the covenant family. This is for the family. And our children are part of the family. Dear saints, this is part of why we practice infant baptism. Because we believe that our children are, from their earliest days, part of our body. Right? We're going to heaven. Kids are coming with us. We are not waiting around for the day when they finally actually become part of the body because they weren't before. We acknowledge and affirm that they are part of the body, they're under God's blessing, inheritors of God's good gifts, entitled to all the admonitions, corrections, blessings, and from the earliest days of their spoken amen, understanding the gospel, they are welcome at the table. So when our children profess faith, our reaction is, of course, and God be praised, right? We don't say, well, okay, well, you say you believe, little Johnny. The elders will see about that, right? The elders are going to give you a test to make sure you really, 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 extra really believe. No. Now, when elders meet with children and their parents in this church to confirm and affirm a profession of faith for coming to the table, which we do, it's more like we're guests at a party. We're coming in and saying, we heard some good news. We heard your parents told us that you've spoken of your own hatred for sin, sadness over sin, as well as your love for Jesus, right? And your faith that he's died and risen, he's forgiven you. We're excited to hear that. Can you tell us too? Can we be part of that celebration with you? It is really important that we understand that children are part of this covenant family, part of this congregation. Remember, Paul's been speaking to husbands and to wives at the end of chapter 5. And then after addressing husbands and wives and this beautiful picture of Christ in the church, he, so to speak, takes a knee to get eye to eye with the children, right? And says, okay, children, right? having talked to mom and dad, here's my command for you, right? And so he tells the Christian children of Ephesus about their inheritance and their responsibilities. And there is a strong movement today. I believe a Holy Spirit-wrought movement, especially among Reformed churches, to recapture what we call intergenerational ministry and the intergenerational nature of the body of Christ. More and more churches in broader evangelicalism, not speaking here in particular, but broader evangelicalism, are realizing, you know, maybe it's not such a good idea to constantly send the kids away. Until they're, you know, maybe until they're old enough to read and write, and then we'll send them away to a different class, and then they'll be old enough to get a driver's permit, and then we'll send them away to youth church on Sunday morning during the service. And then once they're old enough to really own their faith, then we'll send them away to a summer camp so they can get hold of real, authentic faith miles away from their home church, from their elders, from their family, from their congregation. And then they turn 18, and we expect them to have a sense of rooted responsibility in the church. We wonder, why don't they? It's because we've been sending them away from their earliest days. Now, I started off the service this morning by reminding you that we have a summer camp happening for our youth. I'm not trashing summer camp. Summer camp can be great. It really can. And a big element of it is that, I mean, whether you're young or old, you can acknowledge that trips together, going somewhere together to participate in the thing and do a thing together, is really good for relationships and relationship building. Vacations in families like the one we just took are a great example of that. But we do not send our youth away to summer camp because without it they won't be able to find Jesus. Because we don't want to teach them that you find Jesus in faith everywhere except within the church. You have to go away to find your faith. Now, that doesn't explain everything about the present cultural moment, but it can explain a lot of cases, I think, in broader evangelicalism. Many young people, when they grow up and move out, again, they send themselves away from the church because it's what they've been doing. But as I said, there's a strong movement today that I've observed of a move toward intergenerational ministry, where we defy the generational whining that pervades so much of our culture. Right? The generational enmity, right? Boomers hating millennials. Millennials hating boomers. Generation Z despising the millennials. And Gen X kind of just hating everyone. Right? You know what would be really countercultural? You know what would be really rebellious and edgy and punk rock? It would be a community where an 80-year-old is the dear friend of an 18-year-old. And they're not afraid of each other or intimidated by each other. And the 18-year-old shows up to help move boxes. And the 80-year-old shows up to gladly share wisdom. And they thank God for each other. Like, I mean, can you imagine it? Paul here addresses the covenant children because children are part of the family. So that's the first point. The second point is that in the text, you notice when he's addressing children, honor and obedience are commanded. Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Appropriate, fitting, that's the sense. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land. So Paul, as he does in other places in his letters, repeats parts of the Ten Commandments. Paul likes to do this because the Ten Commandments have not been nullified. They are still just as much God's good word to us today as they ever were. We still need to hear those words, all of us, including the children. So Paul repeats them here. So let's unpack the command for a moment. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Yeah, that's 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. then he quotes, honor your father and mother, and then adds his own parenthetical. For this is the first commandment with a promise. Paul begins with the command to obey, right? He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, he quotes the fifth commandment. He says, honor, right? The fifth commandment text, honor, says honor, not obey. Did you notice that? So he says, obey your parents in the Lord, but the command here is honor. So which is it? Well, the answer is it's both, because honoring parents is a command given to all Christians at all ages and seasons of life. And children, I can tell you, children, if you will hear me, you will discover as you get older that honor will take different kinds of shapes as you get older. As you grow into teenage years, right? Honor is going to look like taking their words seriously. As you move into your 20s and marriage, 20s and 30s and all of that, honor will look like maintaining and preserving and wisely prioritizing that relationship, especially when grandkids come into the picture. As you move into your 40s and 50s and beyond, honor is going to look like caring for them, making sure their needs are met, that they're properly protected and cared for and honored. In your younger years, boys and girls, honor, though, for you, will most often look like obedience. So that's the shape it takes for children. So that's why when Paul addresses children, that's the word he uses. Okay, more on that in a moment. For now, we'll get back to the text. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay? Honor your father and mother, first commandment with a promise. Okay? That's important. This is the first commandment, he says, with a promise. Let's talk about that just for a moment. Because the way it often gets understood is this is the first commandment, number five is, you know, honor your father and mother. First of the commandments in the list, number five, is the first one in the list that has a promise in it. That's actually not true, though. The first four commandments certainly do contain promises and blessings. So what's going on? Well, the word that Paul uses here, first, okay, that word first, is the Greek word protos. It can mean first in a list, which is what I'm saying it doesn't mean, or it can mean first as in the best or the place of prominence. So you might remember in the parable of the prodigal son, or better named, the parable of the two brothers. Okay? Jesus says that the prodigal son comes home, he tries to give his dad this prepared speech about how I can be a slave in your house, and what happens? Go to the next slide, please. Luke 15:22, the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe. Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, right? The best robe. That is the word protos, the first robe. That's not the first robe you find, and it's not the first robe in a long stack of robes. It is the big one, the nice one, the preeminent one, okay? So that brings us back to our text. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. I'm going to offer to you that what that means is this is the commandment with the big promise. Now, I'm not saying that honoring father and mother is a bigger deal than, say, you know, the third commandment, not blaspheming God or not indulging in the worshiping of images of God and idols. I am saying that if this promise gets ignored and dissolved, everything goes haywire. Because this is the protos promise. This is the big one. When people reject a command of God, they pronounce a curse on themselves, much more so with this one, which pretty well describes the moment we're in as a people and as a culture. You know, the Reformed tradition has always rightly understood that the fifth commandment is not only about mothers and fathers. It is about all God-given structures of authority. It's just that father and mother are the first God-given structure you meet. So we'll start there. And when we despise and hate that authority and refuse to honor it, it will have downstream effects of us despising pretty much all the other authorities, which will destroy us. You see, that promise of life and blessing is not obey your parents, kids, and you'll live to be 105. It is rather, if you despise and reject the authority of your parents, unstoppable pride will take root in your heart, and what will follow is a rejection of most, if not all, authorities in your life. And that will put you in such a setting of danger and misery and foolishness that you'll be lucky if you manage to make it to 25, never mind 105. Because when this goes wrong, the culture, the society, the people go haywire. That's why when God promises reformation, it's a promise like Malachi chapter 4, verse 6. He will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers. That's the blessing. Lest the curse is on the other side, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. You see, when children and their fathers are estranged, the land is under a curse. The promise of reformation begins with the promise of restored families, which is why I prayed during the pastoral prayer, I believe we're starting to see it here in our little body. Now, many of you know the pain of family estrangement, or of children despising their parents. Even in this room, lots of kids have problems with their parents and vice versa. Now, some of that, I want to note, is an especially demonic doctrine in our day, where all that has to happen for you to exempt yourself from Fifth Commandment obedience is to find a therapist to tell you that your parents are toxic. And at that point, Fifth Commandment obedience no longer applies to you, so you can just cut them out of your life. That is absolutely demonic. Now, there are some special circumstances where grown children might have to put up some fences for the sake of health, marriage, children, etc. So, like, for example, if you are grown and you know that your father is a drunkard and given to fits of rage and physical abuse, then of course know the children don't go over there and spend the night with grandpa. Even if he tries to invoke Fifth Commandment obedience. But you still have to find a way of clearly obeying that commandment to some extent. Even if you have to put the boundaries in place, right? It might sound like, well, no, Dad, they're not going to stay with you. But we'll be over at 11 tomorrow for lunch. We'll be in the room the whole time. We'll be bringing the soda since we know you're back on the wagon. Or whatever that might look like, whatever it might look like in your circumstances, some manifestation of actual obedience happening to the Fifth Commandment, keeping it still intact, maybe not meeting every demand or something like that. And so that was the second point, pardon me, that there's honor and obedience here that we have to reckon with. But third, the blessing is for all. Look back at the text again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land. One of the things you'll notice that Paul assumes here, he assumes it, is the lifelong nature of this command. How do I know that? Well, look at the text. He says, children do something, and that's going to have downstream effects. Your obedience, honor, etc. is going to keep going into living long. All right? So we're childhood, living long, adulthood. Okay, there's an arc of life happening here. So he's talking to children and ends by, in a sense, addressing adults. That's because the blessings here are for all sons and daughters. This command does not dissolve with old age. It begins in childhood, but it doesn't end there. When children are given this command, again, it looks like obedience. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. So if I can once more have the attention of all the children in the room, boys and girls, God's command to you in the fifth commandment for honor your father and mother is in this season for you to obey mom and dad in all they tell you and to do it the same way that you exercise obedience to your heavenly father. That is cheerfully and right away. Not grudgingly, not dragging your feet or rolling your eyes, right? Not saying, yeah, I'm going to do it, right? With a scowl on your face and mumbling under your breath. That's not godly obedience, that's mechanical obedience wrapped up in sin, which as it happens is still just sin. But notice what Paul says. He says, children, do this. And then he supplies to you, first of all, he says it's right. And so it is. But then he also talks about the promise, about the blessing. He's saying, children, do this because it will bless you. It's going to be a blessing to you. And I think he likely has in mind not just Ephesians 6, say, but something like Proverbs 17, 6. Grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of children is their fathers. The glory of children is their fathers. So that's the idea, boys and girls, that your dad's guidance and love and wisdom is not something you endure. It is rather like a gold medal that you hang around your neck and you show it off. Look at this. Look how great my dad is, right? He guides me. Things go so well when I listen to him. Look at this. Look at how great that is, right? God has blessed me so much. And as you get older, honoring's going to look different, but it's not going to go away. So what's honor? Well, you know, what is honor? Honor, when someone you deeply respect walks into the room, how do you act? Maybe you stop talking immediately because you value what they have to say. They're about to speak. You want to hear. Honor is refusing to gossip or trash talk or complain about them. Honor is praying for them. Boys and girls, you should pray for mom and dad. They need your prayers. As you get older, get married, start your own family. Honor is going to look like preserving and protecting and cultivating a good and healthy relationship with mom and dad. Some of you just need to hear this morning, like, you need to call your mother. You need to call your mother. You need to cultivate, protect that relationship so far as it depends on you. Giving them healthy and appropriate access to grandkids, of course, is part of that. You're also going to practice Fifth Commandment obedience to your in-laws, by enabling your husband or wife to practice obedience to this command. Yes, of course we'll have them over for dinner. Of course we will. Now, this is not to say, right, that parents in all they do are perfect. And all the parents in the room said, amen. Amen. Right. Fathers make mistakes. Mothers miss the mark. Nevertheless, the Bible says we honor our fathers who corrected us. Right? So maybe an expression of honor is giving a lot of grace, boys and girls and young people, to your parents because they will err, they will make mistakes. I didn't deserve that spanking. Okay, all right. Maybe you didn't. Well, I got blamed for that thing my sibling did. Maybe that's true. Let me ask you, have you ever gotten away with anything? I mean, come on. With anything? Okay, so why don't we just settle accounts there and we'll just call it even. At the same time, parents, you should be willing to confess your sins and repent even to your kids, yeah, when you sin against them, right? Whoever said authority means never having to say you're sorry was probably demon-possessed. I got nothing for that one. That's bizarre. But authority means modeling repentance. It means modeling apologizing. So in this text, we see children are addressed, that honor and obedience is commanded, that blessing is for all, right? So what falls to us today is, in my estimation, one of the most countercultural things imaginable. It is to actually believe it and live like it's a blessing. I mean, do you know what would happen if we believe this and we believe it like it's a blessing? So it's going to look really weird to the world. Here's what I mean. If a mother says to her child in a public place, go and do this. And rather than fussing or complaining, her child says, yes, ma'am, with a glad and cheerful smile and takes off running to obey, the world's going to be so suspicious. Right? What are you, this is some kind of weird cult. Kids don't obey happily. Everybody knows that. Something must be really wrong. Or my one of the worst ways to confess, if you will, your unbelief in God, your hatred of his promises. Please hear me on this. Do not confess hatred of God and unbelief in his promises like this. Oh. You just wait until they're teenagers. That's when everything unravels. That's when God's blessing stops. That's when God becomes a liar. That's when parenthood becomes nothing but a burden. That's when there's no direction or wisdom or hope or encouragement or help for you. There's only submission to the spirit of the age and cultivation of an endless anger against each other until they finally leave. That's from hell, quite honestly. And a lot of cynicism has been sown into our churches because we believe that God is honest about salvation, but that he lies about family. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, it's the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land. So when you hear that, you probably know Paul is quoting from Exodus 20, from the Ten Commandments. And you're half right. He is quoting from the Ten Commandments, but he's not quoting from Exodus 20. You see, the Ten Commandments are given in two different places in the Old Testament. The first is at Mount Sinai, just after the victory over Pharaoh at the Red Sea, right? The second time is 40 years later in Deuteronomy 5. Moses repeats the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy 5. What's interesting is that there are some differences. For instance, with regard to the fifth commandment, here's what we read, I'll move us over, in Exodus 20. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long, in the land the Lord your God is giving you. That sounds rather familiar, doesn't it? Here's the Deuteronomy text. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord God commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Whoa, it got bigger. The promise got bigger. Not just that your days may be long in the land, but also that it may go well with you in the land. So this is not just about living or surviving. This is about, if you like, quality of life. It's not just about mere existence, it's about blessing. And that fits with what God does so often in the biblical story. Over the course of biblical history, what you notice as you trace God's covenant promises through the ages, the blessings always get bigger, right? They do not contract, they get bigger. So what we have here is Paul repeating the fifth commandment, the one from Deuteronomy, reminding them of both the command and the blessing attached to it. But he's not addressing Israelite children at the foot of Sinai, who will one day reach the fair and happy land of Canaan. He's talking to Gentile Christian children in Ephesus who serve a crucified, risen, ascended, and reigning Lord. The whole earth is their Canaan. Our children find themselves not on the other side of a Red Sea, but on the other side of a cross. And all the promises are for them. Yes and amen. And in that faith, so we go together. In the name of Jesus, amen. And so, our Father, we ask for help. And I ask for help for the children in this congregation, that they would hear the words of their Lord Jesus, that he says to them today that promises and blessings have been expanding and expanding for them for centuries, and that he means to glorify their relationship with mom and dad. He means to reverse all the cursed versions of the parent-child relationships that show up on their screens. And he means very well to start here, with the little children here. So, Lord, I ask for my littlest brothers and sisters that you would give them great strength and joy to honor and obey their parents. For because of your promise, here they will find great joy and blessing. In the name of Jesus, amen.